actually, God bless you all. So God has a spirit and he works through us. And I think one of the ways, I'll be more specific this morning, that we lose our joy because it is that we're not tapped into the Holy Spirit. Mind you, I understand everybody's got their problems, issues, things come up, things must come down. But God's joy is never going to leave us nor forsake us because it's the Holy Spirit. Say, well, I thought that was what Jesus said. Well, you have to understand. Jesus and the Holy Spirit and the Father are all the same. They're all the same in one. Okay? So that spirit that we have. And last week we had just finished up with the armor of God, and I hope that we've been trying to wear it. But remember last week we talked about putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's very important. Some people have the attitude about the armor, well, it's some cold, clammy thing that I put on and so on and so forth. Now, if you had the Lord Jesus Christ in you, you're changed. You're different. You have to ask yourself this very seated question. S-E-E-D-E-D. Seated question. Am I growing? Has God been watering me? Have I been growing? Have I been blooming? Have I been a blessing to be around other people? So Philippians, we looked at, we're going to look at here, but I was going to say with Ephesians, first three chapters were doctrinal, last three chapters were practical. And I thought, Lord, I need something different. I prayed about this months ago, and the Lord laid on my heart to do Philippians. It's interesting that, you know, when Paul wrote this, he was in jail at the time. A lot of expositors think that he already had his preliminary hearing and that he was ready to go before him again. Remember, Paul wanted to go to Spain. And because the Holy Spirit, the Macedonia call, Acts chapter 16, we don't have time to get into it, but there was a vision Paul had. Be careful if somebody comes up to you and say, oh, I had a vision today. Be careful. Or they say, I had a dream today. Be careful. Because remember, Satan is a counterfeit. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. He's a destroyer. And he hates us. Like I said last week, he hates us. So let us not be tools of the devil. Help us, Lord, help us be tools of righteousness, his righteousness. So Paul wanted to have a hearing with Caesar because he was being harassed by the Judaizers. And you know what? It never stopped anyway. Paul had to learn, like we all have to learn today, because he was flesh and blood like we are, that the harassments and the trials never go away, but they should strengthen us. So there he was in jail, and he had... I love this because at the beginning of the letter, there's so much more to say about an introduction to Philippians. I'm going to focus on joy here this morning. And regardless if it's mentioned 27 or 29 times in Philippians, you know, you start trying to find a word in God's letter, and, you know, you get a little blurred sometimes. You think it's just 27 or 29. It doesn't matter. But the point was is that he knew this church very well. He could be pretty much himself. And as he says here with Paul and Timothy, and it's interesting that Timothy, I believe, he probably wrote this down while Paul was you know, expounding it. And Timothy was with him, and remember Silas went with him, and there was another brother in Christ. I can't pronounce his name, let alone remember. But the church had been there, and during Paul's second missionary journey, it was the very first church planted in Asia. And of course, you know, God plants things in our lives. We have a schedule to make. We got to make sure that God is speaking through us through the day. So here was Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ. And, you know, it's interesting because people get afraid. They're like, oh, my goodness, what is a bondservant? You know, it was somebody who was a servant to a household who was free. You belong to your master. We belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, but we have freedom in him. Amen. We have that joy, that unspeakable joy. Joy is the idea of that inner gladness or that deep-seated pleasure that we have through the Spirit of Christ. And so as we see here, to all the saints, by the way, the saints, it's interesting. You know, I will mention a denomination here this morning. This is written to us, and there's a church called the Catholic Church. And some people say, oh, that's, you shouldn't mention churches online. But yes, I don't agree with them because I'm speaking the truth here, and I have to back me up too. It's something else when you argue with somebody and they keep on lying to you. And you're like, either they're going to hide or they're going to run away from the truth. You can't do one or the other. You hide or you run away. So what happens is that I looked this up about saints, and some people look at saints as being the spiritual elite. You know, there's something better than others, but in all respect, you have one who is Saint Christopher, the patron saint of travel. You have Saint Anthony, the patron saint of lost things, lose something, sounds familiar, glasses or whatever. Saint Jude, the patron saint in difficult situations. Look, the point is you need to be praying to Jesus Christ, not to a saint. Where have we lost it? Where, you know, what, I don't, you know, the biggest ignorance. And I'm not putting down the people, I'm speaking the truth. I'm the biggest ignorance of people, they don't study. They don't look at the Word of God. It's right there. And it being surprising here, there is a Saint Barbara. Nothing, you know, we have a Barbara here. I didn't even realize, I was sorry. There's the patron saint of fireworks. Did you know that? And yes, there is a Saint Isidore of Seville, patron saint of the internet. I'm not kidding you, but it's there. People believe that stuff. They really believe that stuff. And you're like, wow, really? Yeah. But to the saints of Jesus Christ, and verse 1, excuse me, who are at Philippi. And by the way, I want to make this very clear. God has called us to be saints, separated ones. Okay? Holy unto Him. All right? We should be all things to all people that we may lead them to Christ. But, you know, even if you are not a bishop or a deacon or something like that, it has no meaning to me. You know why? Even though they do have authority in the offices and the Word of God, you know, you are all called with a high calling. Each one of you should be thankful for what, you know, mothers, fathers, whoever you are special. You mean something to God. So don't ever look down at yourself. If you're having a dark day, just remember Christ loves you. You are something. You know, I look at some of you, I'm like, oh, we got one lady here, I call her teacher. Because all she does is teaches me things about music. And I have other gifted women here, very gifted. God bless you all. I could never do what you do. No way. So I'm all that what God does in our lives. So to all the saints in Jesus Christ who are called in Philippi with the bishops and deacons. So he says, grace to you and peace from God of our Father, of our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't it amazing that we don't deserve this grace? You know, as I told Sunday school, I said, there are many people out there today that say, oh, you know what? We got something for free for you. Oh, don't kid yourself, right? There's always like a little catch or something. You know, come on in and, you know, you're going to get this and that. And yeah, I learned that a long time ago. You go into a sales pitch and that, you know, kids were little runts at the time or little rug crawlers. And we had to sit there for 8 hours for a little surprise. I was like, never again. Okay. Learn, right? The only way you're going to do is you learn. But the point is there's only one free thing that you can get. in this world, and I love to witness to people about this. It's God's grace is for free. Amazing. People don't want it. They don't want God's grace. It's too easy. It's too simplistic. A child can understand it. About in faith in Jesus Christ alone, our salvation. But it's amazing. People will go with all the worldly talk, but they don't want to hear about the grace, which is for free. Want something for free on the internet? Jesus Christ is for free. All you have to do is accept it. But there are too many attachments. But I'd rather work my way to heaven. You know, I have to feel good about myself. I think about pride, P-R-I with the I in the middle. You know, I got to be in the middle of everything with my pride. It doesn't work that way, not with God. So, it says, grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're looking at the Trinity. It's right there, grace and peace. What? That is the fruit of the Spirit. Our God and Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We've mentioned verses in Ephesians, and a couple that's not here today. So did you know, at the end of Ephesians, you have the Trinity mentioned a couple times? I'm like, oh, I guess the Spirit didn't allow me to mention it, but I'm saying it now, that, you know, the Trinity is mentioned many times. When you have grace and peace and the fruit of the Spirit along there with Jesus Christ, guess what? You got the Holy Spirit. We got it today, and we got to use it. And I know it's hard. It's been a hard week for some of us. I could feel that oppression this week from the devil. I could just sense it. I was just like, man, I can't even think right now, let alone, Lord, help me. So it's very real. Spiritual battles are very real. But I want to encourage you. I want you to tap into your, not as your inner man like the world says. Forget it. It's the Holy Spirit, the joy. You can have that in spite of everything. And you just got to work through it. God will help you work through your problems in life. And He's right there. He goes on to say in verse 3, He says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. I thank God upon my every remembrance of you. And that word thank is where we get our Eucharist. Every time we take a, you know, when they say, when I was growing up in the Episcopal Church, you know, it's time for the Eucharist. It was time for the Lord's Supper. At that time, and they still believe in, not all the Episcopal Church, there's some conservative accepted Christ as their Savior. I think maybe some were just dormant Christians, and finally they heard the Word of God, and they stood up and said, this is what I believe on, this is my life that I stand upon, is the Word of God, and accept Christ in my life, and let's go, Lord. We got work to do. And some of you, I'm very thankful today, some of you were like, I got work to do. In God's life, you know, you don't have to come here to have church. You are the church. You are the church. Don't kid yourself. God can use you wherever you are in the church, wherever we go. We need to gather together, like it says in Hebrews 10:25, forsake not the assembly. We need each other. I need you. I need to be with you all. Come back on again. I thank my God for every remembrance of you. There was a man, I believe is Leonardo da Vinci. He was a sculptor as well as a painter. And one night he was inside his home and he had the windows open, as the story goes, and there was a fog and a mist that came by, and he had made a sculpture, come unto me. You know, Matthew 7:14. I better know because it's on the back of my truck, right? Come all ye that are heavy laden, I will give you rest, right? Well, I came in, and he thought nothing of it. He just went to his artist, work very hard. And when they work, they work. And when they're tired, they're tired. So he went to bed. Got up the next morning, instead of this, it was down like this. And he was horrified. And he said, you know, the dew looked like raindrops on him, but it looked, he could picture it as being blood almost, and the weeping on his face, the drops. And he had a revelation from God. He had an inspiration from God. Careful, not revelation, some way. An inspiration from God. And he says, you know what? That's the way this should be. You know, Christ understands. Remember us. And remember, each one of you are the Christ-likeness of our lives. And we're seeing Christ in us, the hope of glory. And, you know, no eye has seen, ear has heard. That 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it's the picture, and it's quoting from Isaiah 64:6. It's the picture of we haven't seen everything yet in heaven, but we can understand, humanly speaking, what Christ went through. He went through it all. All to him I owe, my blessed Redeemer. All to him. Remember that song? So it's nice when the Holy Spirit gives you a thing. And he says here, always in every prayer, that petition is the idea of petition for someone else. I told this Sunday school class, I said, we need to pray for one another more than anything else. You know, every once in a while I get a face that will come up to my mind. I know I'm not losing my mind, but every once in a while God will give you something to think about somebody. And I said, I really need to pray for that person. Or they're praying for me, or I'll sense their voice in my mind. I say, boy, really going off. No, something that God will give to you so that you can remember that person thereby. And it says, always in every prayer of mine, making requests with you, always with joy. Joy. You know, joy is mentioned quite a few times. Joy. I've been faith, joy, godly. We're all fellowship with joy. And of course, going on to the other epistles, we have in music, Ephesians chapter 5 that we looked at a few weeks ago, and bearing fruit in Galatians, in our salvation in Psalms and in truth, and when others walk in truth and salvation of souls, in hope of God's glory, that our names are written in heaven, he gives us joy. Oh, I could spend 3 or 4 sermons on this alone, at least. And the hope of heaven, when tempted, when tried, when sorrowful, when persecuted, when suffering for Christ's sake, say, how in the world can I have joy? Now, it's interesting that the Declaration of Independence, paragraph 2, says this, and I've got all these documents at home. I wish they were the real thing. It'd be great. I could give lots of money to the Lord, and I'd be happy. But God didn't mean it that way. He wants to use my mouth, so I'll use my mouth. He says, paragraph 2, we hold these truths to be self-evident, according to the Declaration of Independence, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But to have happiness today, some people misunderstand that. We know the joy of the Lord is not happiness. It is an offspring from having the joy of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, listen to this. People have to work. The writers of the Declaration of Independence was stating that you have to get out there and work the pursuit. You have to pursue it. You just can't sit there and say, I'm happy, unless a person's out of their mind. But you have the joy that God gives us. We have to be open to the joy of the Lord. We have to let, you know, I've often said this, my biggest enemy is myself. I just get curled up in a ball at times, mentally, and I dwell on myself, which is not a very good thing. So, Moving on from here, so we see here, going back here, that he talks about it was a joy for you to making request in prayer. And it says here, or your fellowship in the gospel from the first day unto now. Being this confident of this very first thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it in the day of Jesus Christ. He's got to work, my brethren, my precious brothers and sisters in Christ. God is always working through us where we've been called. God has called us to what we're doing today. He is working on us. God will allow us to do any job as long as he has called us to do, and he will equip us to do it. Some of you are very equipped saints today who are very gifted, very talented. Share that. Be a blessing. Make me a blessing today. God will not leave you halfway through the job. It's usually when we quit or give up on God then when that happens. We see that where God has called us, God will never leave us nor forsake us when times are getting hard. And I know some of us have had very hard times this week. And we could just go on and on. But you know, I love this one story. And it was a song, you know, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. It's such a special song. My wife and I had that sung at our marriage 41 years ago because we knew it was right. It's right. Okay. And this man, Beethoven, I said that right. Beethoven. Thank you. Okay. Always humbly accept it and appreciate it. You know, it took him 6 years to write this song. 6 years. From 1817 to 1823. And it was combined both of instruments and voices and a majestic expression of sound. I was going to try to memorize this through, and I thought it's better just to read it off of here. So it's so beautiful. I never knew this about Beethoven. And so he was 30 years old when this finally was accomplished. And at that time, he was stone deaf. Stone deaf. That means you cannot hear a thing. Now, this is where I'm going with this, and this will get you excited. Okay, if anything, be like, didn't know that. Okay, it was given that the Ninth Symphony was initially heard in Vienna, Austria, in 1824. The soloist had come down from the stage and turned to Beethoven around so that he could recognize a thunderous applause. He was up there orchestrating it, couldn't hear a thing. And can you imagine with, you can't hear a thing, and you turn around and everybody is on their feet applauding you. Because it is an inspiration. Joyful, joyful, we adore thee. God of glory, God of heaven and earth. It's to glorify the Lord. And even a king, and I'm borrowing this from, I went to a lady's time, she plays in an orchestra last December. And I remember one man stood up, and it was either the guy who directs the orchestra, right? He said that the king of Austria stood up. Kings aren't supposed to stand up. He stood up because he realized that there's the king. I will stand and give glory to him. So, never knew that about Beethoven, that he was stone deaf. He didn't have to hear it. God's joy in the man
brought it out. And people sang it, and the instruments gave glory to God. Oh, every time I hear that song, I get goosebumps. You know, Paul's saying here, look, you know, we need to look at this, being confident of the very thing that he who had begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. It wasn't that long after that the man died, that Beethoven died. God will complete that work in us. And we will be witnesses to kings, as Christians, as presidents today, and government leaders. We will be witnesses to them. Just as it is right for me, he goes, right for me to think this of you, because I have in my heart, and the idea in some translations that I was telling in Sunday school, because I reverted back and forth in my message, is the word bowels. And people would tell you, I love you with all my bowels. That means, you know, I have a gut feeling. You ever heard that expression? I got a gut feeling. This is going to be right. Or I got a gut feeling. This is all wrong. And I've got that gut feeling in me. Speaking of the heart, of the bowels, and Paul is saying here, because I have you in my heart, in so much as both in my chains and the defense, and, you know, for the defense of the ministry. You know, and I think about, he was thinking about Nero at this time. He had to give it a defense of what he believed in. You know, when we face a judge one day, you know, it could be in this lifetime we have to give a, that's where we get our word apologetics from, by the way. But we have to give an answer for the hope that lives within us. This is my gut feeling. This is, okay, you want to know what I think of Jesus Christ? Let me witness to you. Let me tell you about the old story that's always young to me. And let me tell you something here too. This is one way I like to witness to people. I love the xylophone, don't you? Isn't that wonderful? It is. Okay, I got to get back to what I'm talking about here. Stay focused. I've got that problem when I start going out in left field. You know, when we witness to people, I love this one illustration. I believe there is a heaven and a hell. I use this at Evan. And if there was a fire in this building and the fire trucks pulled up and we were had no idea the outside was on fire, and the fire chief comes in and he says, everybody out right away. There's a building on fire. You're in it. Get out. And you know what? Somebody was to say, excuse me. Everybody gets real still while the building's on fire. Say, excuse me, can you be polite about that? Can you say that more nicely? You know, we have fallen into that trap about telling people that there's a heaven and a hell. Who told us, other than speaking love and truth? But you got some preachers that won't preach about hell anymore. It's too offensive. It offends people. Excuse me, that awful. And their nose is up in the air and they end up tripping all over themselves. And you pick them up and you say, look, there is a heaven and there's a hell. Of course you're going to say fire. You know? And everybody needs to get out. Well, you know, there's salvation at the door for people. There's a way out. We, in the meantime, while we're here on this earth, we have the joy. We have the joy. We have the defense and confirmation of the gospel. You all are partakers of me in his grace. In his grace. You're partakers in his grace. You know, there was a man named John Bradford, and he was there during the reign of Bloody Mary. And Bloody Mary was a Catholic, and again, if you're Catholic, it's the truth, it's there, and they persecuted Protestants. It happened. So don't cancel it, as the kids would say. It's amazing what these woke people have gotten away with. And I pray Christians stand up and put out that fire, which is... So he got up, this man named John Bradford, and he says, right before he knew he was going to die that afternoon, he stretched, and there were people around him that were going to go before court, but he was going to be condemned to die. And he goes, I feel great today. Praise God, I've got the joy in me. And let it come. Let it come. He was so happy. John Huss, while we were in the Czech Republic as missionaries, he burned at the stake, but yet he was singing songs. I could see some of you doing that today. Don't worry about the fire bred into that too. People who die burning alive, your nerves go. You can't feel anything. And, you know, and your flesh turns into wax and you're like, oh, okay, you told me too much. No, it's what happens. You can't feel it. You can't feel it after a while. But John Huss was up there singing praises to God. And then, of course, there was John Bradford. And he couldn't wait to see his Lord. And he was thankful that he could wear the martyr's crown, as it were. What kind of joy? That's the power. That's what I want. That's what I need. And unfortunately, even as and many of you today could agree with me, unfortunately, we don't tap into that. We're just like, okay, the fruit of the Spirit, great, you know, and this is what they are. We just read it in letters, but we never apply it to our lives. Okay. So, it says, you are partakers with me in this grace. God is my witness how greatly I long for you all in the affection of Jesus Christ. And, you know, God is my witness. You know, for our joy to really count, there's a story about a man who went to this leper colony, and this preacher did it out of the kindness of his heart. And as he is up there preaching to these lepers, there was a lady that came up. And he had just happened to turn around and grab something. And he turned around and she turned around at the same time facing him. She said it was the most disgusting sight you've ever seen. She had no nose. She had no ears. And he was just horrified. And then he said what made things worse, and this is a true story, she lifted up her hand, there were no fingers. I'm like, oh my Lord. And she said, this is even deeper, that she goes, I want you to sing the song, Count Your Blessings. Count Your Blessings. After the sermon was over with, the preacher sat down with all of his men. He goes, I'm sure you won't be able to sing that song again. He goes, oh no, I'll sing it again, but I understand it differently. Some of you here are suffering more than I could ever imagine. I wouldn't learn from it. But yet God gives us the joy. I have a promise. I have something, an early Christmas gift for you here today. It's called the joy of the Lord. And in spite of what you go through, and I wish I could fix everybody here. I wish I could fix you all. Even the little children who get sick out for 2 weeks. You know, oh yeah, I'm out from school, but you're sick. You can't enjoy it. You know. And yet there, let me say on the contrast, there are the people, the worldly crowd, and I'm going to be closing with this here soon. Voltaire was an atheist. He did some of the most despicable things as a philosopher. He said in his deathbed, I wish I was never born. After all that he did, Voltaire said this. There was another man who was made up of so much money. He had everything he wanted. He said, I suppose I am the most miserable man on earth. So money can never get you the joy. Looking at your life and denying God can never get you joy. Then another man said this, who was very prominent, says, youth is a mistake. Manhood is a struggle. And old age is a regret. What a horrible way to look at life. How horrible. They rejected God. You know, we were there to have fellowship, to talk with Him, to commune with Him. Have the joy of the Lord. He understood that. It is part of our armor, so to speak, because it's His righteousness, it's His holiness. And that's the Spirit of God, clothed in Christ. And then Alexander the Great, you probably heard of this quote too before. He said in his deathbed, he goes, and he was a godless man. He was a homosexual. And by the way, God hates the sin, but He loves the sinner. Homosexuality, if you're online, God can save you from that. God has the power if you let Him. And he says, conquered the known world, he said, and there was none left. So with all the things that people try to make for themselves in the world today who are ungodly, it means nothing. Nothing. And that's why we need the Lord today. People need the Lord. He is the open door. People need the Lord. And pray that people will accept Him and come to Him. And so I think I've run out of notes to look at here. And I think that's all the Lord saying, okay, you need to stop. He said enough. Let me encourage you. Seek the Lord today with His joy. Don't let it go untapped. Trust Him now. And if you haven't accepted Christ as your Savior, an invitation, I always do this. I try to anyway. If your life's in sorrow and pain and misery, God can give you something that you never had before. If you accept Him, if you come His way in Jesus Christ.